It's Current State on WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Most people are aware of the sexy greenhouse gas, CO2. Fewer know of its co-culprit, nitrous oxide. The third largest greenhouse gas, after carbon dioxide and methane, nitrous oxide is released naturally from soil. However, the increased use of nitrogen fertilizer in agriculture has resulted in a rise of nitrous oxide emissions. A new Michigan State University study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences suggests using more precise applications of nitrogen fertilizer can maintain farmers' yields while decreasing greenhouse gas emissions. Neville Miller, Senior Research Associate at Michigan State University and study contributor, joins us with more. Neville Miller, welcome to Current State.
Thank you, Mike.
For starters, what does nitrogen do to growing green things exactly? Why do growers use nitrogen-based fertilizers?
Well, nitrogen, as you probably most people know, is an essential nutrient, and crops and plants need it to grow to reach their maximum potential. So we need nitrogen. Wherever that comes from is a bigger question. Does it come from the atmosphere? Some plants fix nitrogen. Some plants get nitrogen through their roots. But a lot of crops that we grow these days, obviously corn is a big crop in the Midwest, they require nitrogen, and that comes predominantly from synthetic fertilizer applications to the crop. A good amount of nitrogen is good for the crop. It maximizes yield, but excess nitrogen applied can be then processed in the soil to produce this greenhouse gas you mentioned, nitrous oxide. It can also be lost in other forms to soil water through nitrate leaching, for instance.
How common is it globally to use nitrogen?
Oh, it's exceptionally common. I mean, most of the main grain crops you can think of require nitrogen fertilizer. Fertilizer is applied ubiquitously around the globe, and that's why this research that we looked at was looking at nitrogen fertilizer applications in as many systems we could find throughout the globe to try to define a relationship between the amount of nitrogen applied to the soil and the amount of nitrous oxide emissions released from the soil as a result of that fertilizer application.
And generally, how does nitrogen impact water systems?
Well, I mean, it may leach. If there are excess nitrogen in the soil which isn't taken up by the crop, that nitrogen in the form of nitrate typically can be leached and lost into the groundwater, which can then flow into streams, headwater streams, larger rivers, and then obviously into larger water bodies. A lot of people have probably heard of maybe hypoxia in the Gulf of Mexico. That's an example of excess nutrients, including nitrogen, which cause issues way downstream of where the actual nitrogen is applied in the farm field.
And tell us here also, does it figure into climate change then as well? Explain the connection there.
Absolutely, yes. This gas that we've talked about, this nitrous oxide gas, as you mentioned, is a very important greenhouse gas. It's actually roughly 300 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in its ability to warm the atmosphere on a per molecule basis. And this nitrous oxide gas is produced naturally in the soil from microbial processes. But as I say, when there's an excess amount of nitrogen in the soil that the crop doesn't need, then those microbes in the soil are very happy to see that nitrogen, and they produce more of this gas, nitrous oxide, through some of the processes that they conduct. And obviously that leads to larger increases in the atmosphere and more global warming.
Your research focuses on how more precise measurements of nitrogen-based fertilizer could help slow global warming. Planters are too generous in their applications then?
Yeah, I mean, this is not to say that farmers obviously go out and deliberately apply huge amounts of nitrogen. I mean, they're obviously, they want to manage their farm as efficiently as possible with regards to their economics as well as the environment. But yes, I mean, in general, farmers may tend to use nitrogen fertilizer as a type of insurance, as a hedging for the best years where the rainfall and the climate is ideal for the crop to grow. And those years don't come along very frequently. So a lot of the time there is excess nitrogen in the system which can be lost either to groundwater and nitrate leaching or to nitrous oxide and other species of nitrogen in the atmosphere and the water. So more precisely really means a better overall management. It may mean reduced rates, which is the most important factor for reducing nitrous oxide in the atmosphere, but it also may mean a better timing of the fertilizer when the crop actually needs it, when it's growing. It may mean a better placement of the fertilizer in the soil or on the surface, whatever's best for that particular crop. So it's an overall best management practice with regards to nitrogen, including and predominantly the better nitrogen rate.
Are growers sufficiently aware of the impact that nitrogen has when they use it? I mean, can you generalize about that?
I think most producers would be aware of nitrogen with regards to its loss probably to water and nitrate leaching, particularly if they're in zones which have, for instance, poor water quality, poor drinking water quality. They may be aware of large nitrogen losses through that route. A lot of the Midwest, as you probably know, is tile drain, so a lot of this nitrate that's in the soil can be rapidly flushed from their system and obviously flushed into rivers and larger water bodies. Less, I'm certain, are aware of the impact on the atmosphere with regards to greenhouse gas nitrous oxide, although we have a lot of initiatives at the moment at Michigan State University and other universities with colleagues here who are trying to, you know, disseminate information through MSU Extension and other organizations and people.
We're talking with Neville Miller, who has been studying the impact of nitrogen-based fertilizers on the environment here at Michigan State University. For the past several years, MSU research has focused on a 40-acre plot here in the state that reduced its fertilizer use while trying to maintain maximum yields. Apparently, you were successful. Have there been similar results globally to this kind of experiment?
Well, actually, this if you like to call it a pilot project in Tuscola County in Michigan, was the first of its kind with regards to generating what we call these carbon offsets, these carbon credits from reducing nitrogen in the soil, in this case, a corn system. So these credits that were generated from reducing nitrogen rate, which in turn reduced nitrous oxide, those credits can be sort of traded on the carbon marketplace, the voluntary carbon marketplace in the U.S. at the moment. So actually it was the first of its kind globally to generate these credits from nitrogen management. We hope to, myself and colleagues and others, hope to extend this initiative, this project, to the Midwest and beyond, where obviously corn is grown in very large areas in the U.S. Midwest, but also other areas in the world. So extending that this pilot project to larger scales with a larger adoption would be obviously beneficial to farmers, the farmers' pockets, because they're reducing the nitrogen rate, but also to their soil quality and their water quality, and hopefully the atmospheric quality as well.
Neville, tell us more about the carbon market. What is it? How does it work?
Right, and basically it's using, in this case, from agriculture. Agriculture is not... quickly want to add, agriculture is not going to be capped with regards to its emissions. That's not occurring at the moment. But how agriculture can contribute to the carbon market is by changing management practices, perhaps, you know, sequestering carbon, or in our case here, reducing nitrous oxide emissions. And those reductions, those offsets that are generated from those practices can be used in a voluntary market currently in the U.S. to offset other producers or other companies who may be emitting more greenhouse gas emissions, or may just want to help green the environment by purchasing these credits to improve the environment. There is a mandatory compliance market which started in California a year or two back, where certain, if you want to call them bigger polluters, have their emissions capped to a certain level, and in order to meet that cap, these polluters can buy certain amounts of these offsets from either agriculture or forestry to help them meet their cap.
Okay.
That's based in California at the moment.
Okay, very good. Neville Miller is a senior research associate here at Michigan State University. Mr. Miller, many thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
This environmental segment of Current State, supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. For more news of the Great Lakes environment, check out greatlakesecho.org.